by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the U.
Upon decaying every foul wicked spirit in the host, the ooze.
20 minutes, that door of a on the ooze, spread out.
On the ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
They kind of missed the whole point.
To really tap into have a serial time.
Necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's Tuesday night. It is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, and you are listening to the Ooze Illuminous Edition. For those of you who may or may not have tuned in or tried to tune in last week, we ended up not doing the show last Tuesday. Just had some family issues, some things that took priority over doing the show, and I didn't have an opportunity to even go in and reschedule or do anything like that. So we're back, and we will be continuing to do this every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., so I apologize for the little hiccup. And here I am getting ready to do the show and everything else, and I've gotten dialed in and everything, and I've got this new cell phone. The reason I have a new cell phone is that when one of my kids was here this summer, we were messing around at the pool, and my girlfriend, I mean, this is common stuff, you know, every year we do this. One of the girls, if you're hanging out by the pool and you're too close to the edge of the pool, well, there's a chance that one of the adults is going to push you in. Unfortunately, when my 11-year-old was by the edge of the pool, she was pushed in, and in her pocket was her cell phone that we had gotten her that Christmas. So into the pool she went with the cell phone. Of course, that was the end of the cell phone. I used to work for a cell phone company and everything else. I know about all the tricks and everything you can try to do to bring back a phone. We got her phone operating at one point. I even think it took a phone call or two for a couple of days, but that was the end of her phone. So we had to go to the phone store and see about getting a replacement. And this is when I learned, despite my working at a cell phone company, I was always under the impression that when you bought phone insurance, you were paying $5 or $6 a month, so that if you needed to replace your phone, if something happened, well, then you got a replacement for your phone. And maybe this is the way it worked for the company that I worked for. You got a replacement phone. Well, the company that we have our service through, when we go to get a replacement phone, I get told that the cost to replace this phone, there is going to be an $80 deductible, okay? Like car insurance, all right? A deductible for this cell phone. I didn't pay $80 for the damn phone when I got it new. And I'm not with one of the big guys. I'm not with AT&T or Sprint or anything like that. I'm with one of the smaller companies where you pay for your phone up front, and that helps you get a lower monthly rate, basically, because you own your phone. So there's no equipment charge, basically. So I'm blown away by the fact that there's this $80 charge for this phone that I didn't spend $80 on. And on top of that, you can get the damn thing new if you sign up for new services for fucking $20, okay? So that wasn't going to fly. I was not happy. And this is keep in mind, folks, I'm a tattoo artist. I tattoo for electronics all the time. I'll put up crazy fads and everything else saying, hey, if you got some high-end electronics that you want, you know, give it to me, and I'll do tattoos for, you know, the equivalent value of what I can get for it on eBay. And then I turn around and sell the shit on eBay. So I've had, you know, iPhones and, you know, Androids and all kinds of stuff in and out of this house. So it wasn't going to be a thing for me to have a phone, but it meant that my kid was going to be without a phone for a couple of days. So the dude at the service store, you know, while understanding my, you know, ire, he came up with what I figured was an equitable solution. He ended up, you know, pointing out to me a phone that they had. They went, you know, if you sign up for this new service that they had, you get this phone for $50. And, you know, it's one of these high-speed phones. It's got the touch screen. It's got all that craziness going on and everything else. So we ended up replacing the phone, you know, and I gave my kid because we all have the same model phones. So I gave my kid the phone that she had, you know, my phone. We had, you know, changed the numbers around and everything else. And I got the new touchscreen phone, okay, because I have two daughters. You know, I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, one of them having a better phone than the other one. That just doesn't work. Anybody who, you know, is a woman or has been around women, especially young women, knows that, you know, if everything's not equitable, one of them will feel shortchanged. So They got the old phones. I got the new phone. Well, the damn thing with the touchscreen and everything else, I've had it for a few months now, and it's still a pain in the ass for me to figure out exactly what the hell I'm doing and everything else. So as I was logging in tonight for our show for this episode this evening, I've got the phone on speaker because, you know, I'm doing other things. I'm looking at porn and everything else. I got 10 minutes. I'll spend my time on the internet, I feel like. So I'm looking at porn and shit. And the little lady for Blog Talk Radio goes, "Your show will start in 5 seconds." I was like, "Oh, shit." So I grab the phone and go to hit the button to, you know, go from speaker to, you know, just regular phone. And I hang up on the damn phone. All right, hang up on the show and shit. So I had dialed back in real quick, and I got in here. Luckily, TC set up this long intro and everything else. So it probably was intentional, too. They set up this long intro for the purpose of, you know, making sure that if something happens, some little snafu happens, we've got, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds of intro to kind of get it back together. So here we are. Here we are for the Ooze this evening, the Luminous Edition. And normally what I've been doing with the Luminous Edition is I've been spending about an hour talking about different topics. And I have a list of topics, and I'd go on about these different topics and everything else. And every topic I'd give about 15, 20 minutes. If nobody called in or nobody seemed interested, we'd move on. And this show doesn't have a lot of live listeners anyway, so usually I got through about 4 topics a night. Tonight I'm not going to be doing that. I want to talk about one particular subject, and I'm going to be talking about this topic, and it's a little esoteric, I think. It's a little maybe heady, maybe not. Maybe I'm just full of myself. But this is, I'm working on a blog, I think, and I have this idea, and I think it's an important idea. It's in line with what we've been talking about on the Outbreak Edition. TC and I have been every Sunday night going on for about 2 hours about self-determination and not just talking about it. And there's so many people out there who are just talking about self-determination, who are just talking about doing something about the way things are in our system, who are just talking about the philosophy, talking about the ideas. And so few are actually taking it to that next level where there's application going on, where you're actually just, you know, getting into strategies, where you're trying things out and experimenting and then sharing your ideas as to, you know, how this experiment's working out. So that's what we've been talking about on Sundays. And what I've got going on in my head right now, what I'm going to be talking about for the next hour, is kind of in line with those ideas. One of the things we've been talking about is redefining wealth. Redefining the value, you know, recognizing the valuelessness of money, of our current economic system, recognizing the flaws there, and coming up with a different value set, coming up with a different understanding of what it is to be wealthy, what it is to be successful in our society or just as an individual, you know, actually with that self-determination. And we've been kind of banging our heads trying to figure out, well, what's the mode of exchange? What's the thing that we're trading? And we've hit on this, I think, a few times. We've hit on the idea that the dollar or whatever it is you're exchanging, it represents a unit of time that you have, in whatever it is you do, agreed to exchange a certain amount of your life for the basic means of exchange. So, you know, you think the money is the thing that you're working for. Well, actually, you're in the business of trading your time for the means to get the things that you need or want. And one of the things we've been really kicking on, one of the things we've been really pushing, is that many of the things that you need shouldn't cost you anything other than time. It should take no more than your own effort going out and, you know, getting those things. That having this middleman, having this system in the way of you getting what it is you need goes against common sense, goes against logic. It's not rational. It's one of the signs of psychosis in our society. So this is the basic idea. Now, the thing that I've been thinking about is really embracing that concept of time as the new unit of exchange, that time is the measurement of wealth. We're talking about self-determination. We're talking about freedom. One of the things that I think about when I think about this subject is there's a quote in the movie Gladiator. Cicero is Maximus. Maximus is the general gladiator. Cicero is Maximus's servant, his manslave or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to make any kind of accusation as to what the hell's, you know, going on there. They tried to make out Maximus to be a pretty straight guy and everything, but, you know, this is ancient Rome, so who the fuck knows? Anyways, Maximus has just been asked by Marcus Aurelius, the Caesar, who's dying, to be the protector of Rome and to reestablish the Senate, to reestablish Rome as a republic. So Maximus is in his tent. He gets done praying to his little clay dollies and stuff. This all now reminds me of the scene in Spaceballs where, you know, Dark Helmet is in his room playing with his dolls and everything else. That's what I think of when I see that. So I know it's supposed to be a serious moment, but it always makes me giggle. So Maximus gets done praying to his dolls, and he says to Cicero, "Do you ever find it hard to do your duty?" And Cicero responds, "Sometimes I do what I want, or sometimes I do what I want to do. The rest of the time, I do what I have to." This, I think, is where we find ourselves. We all have duty. We all have obligation. Whether it's obligation to a higher purpose, whether it's obligation to a government, whether it's obligation to, you know, our parents or, you know, our employers, or just obligation to meet certain social standards, we have duty. We have obligations. And Cicero points out that for a fraction of his time, he does what he wants to do. But, and I think the gist of the statement is, you know, the rest of the time, he does what he has to. And this is the flaw, I think, in our thinking, in our programming. We've been taught that that's the way it is, that you're going to give up childhood, and you're going to find yourself in a position where your life, the bulk of your life, is going to be spent in the pursuit of the things you have to pursue. We never question, or we never think the question as children, who defines what it is we have to do? And is that the ultimate end? We're talking about, you know, this process through time. We're talking about how, you know, in feudal Europe, the serfs, pretty much all their time, was, you know, the time of their, you know, their noble lords, whoever they, you know, whoever was their protector. So they spent the majority of the time, the vast majority of the time, doing whatever it was they needed to do as per their duty to their lord. And usually that meant, you know, working in the fields. Now, if you were a skilled laborer, what you found that since your skills were more in demand, you had a little bit more flexibility. But still, it was servitude towards somebody else. When we moved a little bit further into the future, into time and everything, when we evolved a little bit more as a society, the serfs had the option of, you know, not necessarily working for a noble lord exclusively, that they had the ability to gain for themselves. And there was a change, a political shift in the minds of these lords, you know, recognizing that the treatment of their serfs, the treatment of their people, I mean, a lot of these times these people were members of the family and things like that, that their treatment of these people meant that they might work better. The option of being the opportunity to be landowners of their own meant that they might work better. So this concept continued to evolve. It evolved through the Industrial Age, you know, and evolved, you know, through the Renaissance, through the Industrial Age, all the way up into the last, let's say, 40 years, the 1950s, 1960s, where the promise of our society was, if you spend your time working 8 hours a day, for 8 hours a day, you're going to give up 8 hours of your life, and you're going to be given the ability to not only acquire the things you need, but build for yourself a future, because the goal was down the road at 40, 50, 30, something like that, you know, 20 years, 30 years down the road, you were going to retire. And from that point forward, you would have acquired enough, whether it's wealth on your own, whether it's material possessions, or whether it's, you know, a pension plan, some sort of retirement program, you would have qualified and not have had to worry about pursuing your needs from that point forward, that you could spend your time just enjoying your life. And, of course, what ended up happening is that our lifespans increased. So usually, you know, a lot of people didn't live to retirement. Those people that did live to retire died a few years after retiring. So with that being the system, well, that being the process, it worked. But as people began to, you know, live 80, 90 years, this system became flawed. Added on top of that, of course, Social Security and things like that, the intent being that you would have worked for whatever it is you have. And then whatever it is you had at that point, whether it's your pension or whatever, you'd use Social Security to enhance those things. But the point here being, again, you're exchanging 8 hours of your life a day, 5 days a week, and you're exchanging 20 or 30 good years, I mean, some of the best years of your life, for a cushy end of your life. So right at the point where you're pretty much worthless anyways as far as the workforce is concerned, that's when they're willing to go ahead and let you go and tell you, don't worry about your obligations, you're taken care of. Society will take care of all that. The problem with that process, the problem with the way those things go, is that in every situation, you're using your time in exchange for acquiring the things you need from someone else. There's a middleman, always. There's a middleman between you and the resources that are naturally available, that are abundant. I would argue that this world, it, from the correct perspective, is a paradise where anything you want can be had, anything you want can be acquired. Anything you want, if you're willing to go out and get it, is yours for the taking. All you have to have is the will to get it and a little bit of knowledge on how to go about it. The problem we have is in our society, we have false expectations. We have false values. We have all these different things that we're expected to chase after. And a lot of it has to do with material goods. We're always chasing after the Joneses. We're always trying to keep up the neighbors, that kind of thing. Instead of simply acquiring the things we need and then focusing on the one commodity, the one thing that is truly precious, that is truly in short demand or in short quantity, and it's time. Let's say we are here for 80 years. Let's say you do have 80 years to, you know, do whatever it is you're going to do. One of my biggest fears, one of my biggest concerns in my life is that when I die, my life will be meaningless. When I die, it'll have been a wasted 80 years, that I will have spent my life pursuing frivolous nonsense, that I will have spent my life trying to live up to the standards of other people, and that, you know, that chase, that chasing mediocrity, basically, will mean that at the end of my life, my children may remember me, my grandchildren may remember me, but that's it. And I'm not talking about fame or fortune. I'm not talking about that whatsoever. I'm talking about living a life that's satisfying, living a life that was self-determined, living a life where at the end of my days, I can look back at my accomplishments and say, I grew, I evolved. During these 80 years, there was something meaningful to me from these pursuits, these things I was going after. And when you look back at history, when you look back at the way, you know, that we have developed as a society, all the people on the cutting edge, all the people that have pushed our evolution, all the people that have engaged in making our society move forward have been the people who have lived their lives in some manner that was self-determined, have lived their lives in some manner where their time was theirs to use as they see fit. Okay? Newton didn't accomplish what he did, you know, chasing down commissions, working for other people. He did what he did. Da Vinci, sure, he had commissions and everything else, but what he did was, you know, I'm going to paint regardless. So you can pay me, if you like my painting and everything else, well, then pay me to paint, and I'll pay, you know, I'll paint the things you want, but you're going to get the Da Vinci version of what it is you want. Still, pursuing the things that he wanted to pursue, Shakespeare writing his plays, pursuing the things, you know, chasing after his desires, using the time as he saw fit, being self-determined. Albert Einstein, you know, that once he got it figured out, once he got out of the patent office and everything else, and he was pursuing his theories on his own. And eventually, whatever he was doing with his time became his main means of providing for himself. He no longer was reliant on a middleman. He was no longer reliant on a third party to achieve his ends. We talk about self-determination. We talk about freedom. What is freedom? Because it's ambiguous. How do you define that? And for me, I define that as being able to use your time, being able to freely do what you will. Freedom is self-determination. Freedom is the ability to, whatever time you have, you do what it is you're going to do. So time is where wealth is at. The more freedom you have, the more time you have to do what you will, the wealthier you are. That, I think, is the way that we need to pursue this issue. That is that's the value that we need to develop within ourselves. Getting away from keeping up with the standards and the Joneses, the material, you know, whatever. keeping getting away from all that and doing what you can with your time. Now, this time that we're talking about, this commodity we're talking about, exchange, the time we have, there are different grades of time, just like there are different grades of metals, just like there are different qualities of precious stones. You can take a look at time and the way a time, the time is being used, and based on that usage, you get an idea of the value of the time. So, and again, this is something I'm thinking about for a blog. This is something I'm thinking about writing about. So what I'm talking about here for this hour is just kind of a rough sketch of this blog I'm working on, and I'll be posting it. It'll be on eminentmind.net. It'll be on my blog, the Crawling Chaos blog. It'll be, you know, it'll be a couple different places. So you'll be able to see this blog when it's all said and done. I might actually be talking about this a little bit more next Tuesday. But different grades of time, different qualities of time. And I'm, as I'm working the scale out, the lowest grade of time, dross time, basically, the metal that is worthless, or has almost no value. There are two kinds of dross time. There are two kinds of time where it has almost no value. There's time where you have resources. You have the ability to do things, but there are so many restrictions placed on you that you cannot use those resources to accomplish what you want. So you have external pressures upon you, preventing you from using your resources as you would, as you see fit. I would call this akin to literally being in prison, where all the demands upon you are preset by somebody else. And it's, you know, it can be a figurative or literal prison, but and many of us feel this way without actually being incarcerated, that our whole day is spent catering to others, that there is no, you know, there's no option, there's no opportunity to even consider any individual pursuits, any pursuits of your own, that you are locked down by the external pressures around you. On the flip side of that, you have all kinds of time, but you have no resources with which to do anything. So this is an internal pressure. You have the feeling, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, where, you know, here we are, we're starving in midair. We're, you know, we're out there and, you know, we need things and we feel the need, whatever it is. Not a need like, oh, I wish I could play the Wii right now, but a need where, you know, you're hungry. You're sleepy, you need water, you need something, you need to get from point A to point B, and you can't do it. You're suffering. You don't, the resources to get you to whatever it is, that whatever end, whatever Maslow foundational end you need to accomplish, you just don't have. So you suffer for it. So, and it's an internal situation where you can feel yourself starving. You can feel yourself dying of thirst. You can feel it. You can feel it going on. Sure, it's a small thing at first, and most of us, you know, find a way to satisfy that need, but we've been there. We've all been there where we felt like we had no choices. You know, nobody's asking you to do shit. Nobody's telling you to do anything, but you've got these pressures upon you, and there are no options. So this is the worst kind of time to have. And I think a lot of it has to do with perspective. Now, of course, you know, if you're in a prison, if you've got all these pressures upon you, there's a possibility either that you, A, should have made some different choices to avoid being in that situation, and you need to start thinking about when you have the opportunity to make certain choices in the future, making choices that get you out from under those pressures, or B, immediately, if you have the option, seeking certain options, certain choices that get you out from under some of those pressures. With the internal kind of thing, it's a matter of, you know, recognizing that if you have time, then you have a resource. Adjusting that value set in your mind, that if you have time, then there's something you have that you can trade. There's something you can do. You can make something happen. But we've been so programmed that it's not time that we're trading. Time, you know, our time is meaningless. Our time is of no value. Although there'll always be plenty of it. That time is in abundance. That you have forever. That, you know, the day is long and that kind of thing. I don't know about you folks, but the older I get, the shorter my day seems. And so here I am as I'm approaching on 40 years old, I'm feeling the pressure a little bit more heavily than I did when I was 21. I can say that with all a definite yes, that is the case. But it's a matter of waking up and recognizing it. I think this, again, this is a mark of maturity, something that we've seen in other cultures and other societies that, whether intentionally or not, has been stripped of our culture. That in our culture, maturity means that you're of a certain age and a certain, you know, physical stature that no, you're no longer, your parents are no longer beholden to be responsible for you. You know, it's not, you know, it's not 18 years and you get to be an adult. No, it's 18 years and then your parents don't have to deal with your shit anymore. That's maturity in our society, the inverse. I think maturity comes in stages. I think one of the first stages of maturity is that when you become aware that you're going to die someday. I think it's a line from The Crow, and I know I like quoting movies. There's a line from The Crow where, you know, childhood ends the day you know you're going to die. Okay? I think a second stage of maturity is when you recognize that given your short lifespan, given your limited life, you decide that you need to do something with it worthwhile. And what worthwhile is should be self-determined. What worthwhile is should be entirely up to you. If you decide you're going to be the greatest video game player in the world, well then, you know, go for it. Go balls out. And, you know, make your name for yourself doing whatever that is. I mean, that's fine. Make your mark in history. Build that monument to yourself in time. I know I've said that a lot in other shows. Build your monument to yourself in time doing whatever it is you're going to be doing, whatever it is your pursuit is. But the ideal seems to be to move away from that dross time and move over into having grown a greater quality of time, a greater purity of time, where on, in that scale you have, you're less on the extreme end where you don't have any options, and all the way to the other extreme where you have nothing but options. It's up to you to just do something. So taking it up from the dross time, then I think we have time where we have options and we have resources. And the focus of our time on this scale is acquiring those resources, making sure that we have the things we need. And we do this, you know, by any means necessary, by whatever manner it is we pursue. The shift in our value needs to be, though, that, like, let's say you work a job, whatever that job is. The shift in our value system should be that, you know, when you're going and working that job, you're not working for somebody else. You're not working for, you know, the man or what have you. You're working for yourself. You're doing whatever it is, you know, you need to do to acquire the things you need. It just so happens that what it is you're doing, the things that you value in yourself, the skills that you have that you consider are important, are undervalued or underdeveloped, are not developed enough to be valued by other people. So you do whatever it is they'll pay you to do, or whatever it is they will provide for you, you know, your resources for you to accomplish. So time is spent acquiring your needs. So it could, so, and in our society, unfortunately, the limited parameters we have, usually acquiring your needs means going out and getting a job, going out and working for somebody else. That voluntary servitude that we all seem to experience, being a wage slave, this is the option made available to us by our society, and this is considered the ideal. Okay, so keep that in mind. Again, I think our society, our value systems, and everything else are geared towards mediocrity. So the ideal is you go out and you get a job. And then by having that job, you working with a third party to acquire the things you need. I am fully confident that you could walk out your door and everything you need, again, in the Maslow foundational sense, everything you need is right outside for you to just take. It just means having a shift in values. It just means restructuring the way you see things. And it means, you know, again, seeing time as the primary commodity, time as the main thing you use to trade for the things you need. Whether it's, you know, time spent, you know, hunting and fishing and doing well, all that stuff, or time going out and working for whoever it is you're going to work for. And you have to decide which is the best way for you to spend your time. Again, it's relative, but this is the step up from that dross time where you have time, but you spend a good part of that time in the pursuit of the things that you need. I think this is what Cicero means when he says, the rest of the time I do what I have to. That's the things he's pursuing in the rest of that time. It's the next step up from those pressures, the time used acquiring the things you need, to time spent doing what you want to do. This time seems, you know, it seems like it's ideal, and this seems to be the pinnacle of time offered as defined and offered by our society, that you go out and you work a good day's work, and then you just come home and relax. You come home and relax and you watch stupid television. You come home and relax and you play video games. You come home and you just chill out, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? That's fine, but the idea that this is that's as good as it gets, that that's as far as anyone should go in the use of their time, that seems to be the prevalent mode in our society. And I see that as problematic. Again, as I said earlier on, the people that have been the drivers of our society, the people that have been the ones to institute some real changes, they weren't using their time in the pursuit of frivolity. They expended their time in the pursuit of something else, something more. And they were being, of course, you know, or eventually, whether they were in the process of doing whatever it is they were doing, and then they were paid for it afterwards, or society recognized this and made sure that they had no need to, you know, seek after acquiring things, or whether in the pursuit of the things that they desire, they were being taken care of or what have you. This is, you know, again, this is, you know, back and forth. So, but the idea that the ideal being, the idea that the ideal is having that freedom to just do nothing, I think that's a very immature perspective on the use of time, of how to use this commodity. I think the people there's a certain group of people, I think, that prefer that we believe that, prefer that we think that way, that the best use of time is no use at all, that we don't actually pursue anything, we don't actually get up and do anything, that we do as little thinking for ourselves as possible, that we just kind of enjoy whatever little circus they put in front of us, and that should keep us happy. And it's scary, you know, that the majority of the people in our society, that's what they go for. There's some advantages to that, I think, when the majority of the people are dumb, but there are, I think, greater disadvantages, and that's problematic for me. So, spending time with no direction. A grade up above that is spending your time doing what you want with some purpose. So, you're not just acquiring the things you need now, but you're doing things that you see are of value. You're doing things that make you better at acquisition, that make you better at providing for your needs, that whatever it is, that you're doing things that may be enjoyable, may not be enjoyable, but you're developing skill sets, whatever you've got going on. That type of time takes you above that frivolous time. Then the final grade of time, what I think is the penultimate use of time, what I think is the penultimate, the platinum time, if you will, the diamond time, is that time where you actually spend evolving, where it's not just a matter of developing the skills that you have and everything else, but it's a matter of creating new skills, creating new ideas, going beyond what is available for you to learn and doing something more, developing those things, pushing the envelope, basically. That is the time that I seek to cultivate in myself. And I'm not saying I'm anywhere fucking close. You won't hear me, you know, making any kinds of, you know, suggestions in that matter. I'm probably down closer to, in this scale, closer to the time spent acquiring my needs, time spent feeling like I'm trapped and I have no choice, and time sitting around doing nothing but watching porn or whatever. I mean, that's pretty much where I live my life. But recognizing that, you know, there's something more, there's other pursuits, recognizing that there are other options, there are different things I could be doing, and trying to be aware of those things and then trying to actually pursue those things, I think that's the direction I'm trying to go in. And this, again, you know, just speaking about this, you know, for the hour or so that I have here, this is kind of the rough sketch of this blog, this outline that I'm going to be working on, this just a post that will be on Eminent Mind about time, and about time as the true means of exchange and how it should be developed. And it seems to me that if you look at the scale that I'm talking about, you use the lesser, you know, times, the dross, the time chasing after resources, the time, you know, spent doing nothing, that you use those things to exchange for the higher grades of time. So, you know, you might spend a good portion of your time right now If you've got a regular job, and I had a regular job. I remember this was years ago, having a regular job working in a warehouse, and I don't think I could count the number of different kinds of jobs I've had in my life. Working in a warehouse and coming, you know, realizing the warehouse I worked at, I could walk to the warehouse. It was that close. So there wasn't a huge time spent commuting or anything else. But, you know, working third shift, recognizing that if I had to be in at 11 o'clock, well, I got up at 9 o'clock to make sure that I had something to eat and that I got ready to go to work. So 2 hours from, you know, 9 to 11, I spent preparing to do the job, mentally and physically preparing to do the job. And then from 11 to 7, I did the job. And then from 7 to 9, I spent 2 hours unwinding from doing the job. And then, from 9 to 7, or, you know, 9 to, you know, 5 or whatever, I was asleep, okay? So, you know, most of my time was dedicated or wrapped up in this whole doing the job, you know, the job, whatever, acquiring the things I need. And I think that's where we all pretty much start. If we don't start in a time situation, even worse than that, where we have, you know, restrictions but no ability to, we have resources but restrictions, or we have no restrictions but no resources, that's where we're at. And the idea being that, you know, you do these things, you do whatever it is you need to do to develop the things that you need, that you can exchange for those higher levels of time. And, you know, that's the pursuit that has been pushed in our society, that you go out and do your job, you go out and do your work, and eventually you'll come to a point where you've done enough, and that would cut you loose to just spend your time frivolously. And this is a lie. This is the danger, the dangerous allure of the system we have right now, is that, you know, do enough, pay enough service, you know, do your service, do your duty to your workforce, do your duty to your society, and eventually you'll have time to just blow off and do whatever the hell you want. When really it should be, we shouldn't be aiming for such a low target, that we should be aiming for something more, that we should be aiming for something higher. And that's, you know, first of all, breaking away from that system, that process, and then finding a way to evolve the self, evolve the society, whatever it is, whatever means necessary, whatever it is you're pursuing. Like I said, you know, if you're going to be the best damn video game player in the world, and you find a new way to fucking do it and everything else, if that's your innovation, if that's your offering to mankind, your monument to yourself in time, well then have at it. If that's, you know, that's your thing. So that's my bit. I got 20 minutes left. The phone number is 347-989-1371. It's cool to see some people actually showed up and turned out and are listening to me ramble on about time as a commodity. I don't even know if I'm being coherent with these ideas. But again, this is going to be something that I'm going to be working out, typing away on a keyboard and expressing as a blog. So I'm sure that it'll become more developed as I'm working out on this. Now, I guess, so here I am talking about these different things. Let's talk about application. When we're talking about time, I can look at my world, where I'm at right now, and I can point to the fact that, you know, okay, for, you know, geez, 20 years. First of all, I started out in the Army. Okay, got out of high school, started out in the Army. That's where I started, you know, that's where my self-determination of how I was going to spend my time started, was in the military. So I put myself in a situation where, you know, you could argue that the majority of my time for 4 years was spent doing what I was told by somebody else, with the idea being that in exchange for doing what I was told by somebody else, I was going to reach a point where I would have the freedom to do more liberally with what I'd like to do with my time, which is, you know, pretty much what happens. When I got out of the military, then I had, you know, other options, other pursuits. But then, of course, I had other obligations. And, you know, I had a kid, I had a wife, that kind of thing, you know, had to pay the rent, stuff like that. So then, you know, going out and getting a job. So now, you know, it wasn't 24/7 where I was, you know, had to do what somebody else, you know, expected me to do. Now it was just 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever it ends up being. If you count the wife and kid in there, you know, just doing what other people expected me to do. And it was because at that point I hadn't developed the resources yet, the tools to really pursue the things I wanted to. I mean, I was in process. Drawing and artwork and everything else. I was always doing that. I was always pursuing that. And that's how I spent my free time, what little free time I had, any scrap of it, I spent trying to develop those things. Also, you know, this whole philosophy kick. A lot of my time was spent, you know, discussing ideas and reading and trying to develop these different ideas and everything else, trying to get somewhere with these things. So in and out of the workforce, different jobs, different things like that, realizing the entire time that working for somebody else sucks, that having this as the only option sucks, but believing, just like the majority of people, that what other choice do you have? You know, and I've always flirted with the whole situation where, you know, I could walk into management at any time, that I could be, you know, at any one of these jobs I worked, I could have been, you know, supervisor, shift manager, you know, manager or whatever, you know, district manager, that kind of thing. I've had all those kinds of jobs offered to me, and I even worked a few of them. But at the end of the day, each time, it was like, you know what, this is not what I want to do. This is not how I want to spend my time. So eventually, you know, reaching a point where my skill set was developed enough that I no longer had to rely on those jobs, those things, to acquire the things I need. So, you know, now I do, you know, tattooing. What I'm trying to work out is a way to make sure that it's now not just a matter of, you know, having something I like to do as a means of acquisition, but finding some way to develop a process of acquisition that's self-perpetuating or that needs only a little push to keep spinning every day, where I'm not in a position to, you know, that if I go a week without tattooing, well, that means I might not pay the rent for the month or what have you. So that kind of thing. Trying to develop, you know, a process where it works on its own, where it works by itself. But I can tell you that in the tattoo industry, that's called owning a tattoo studio. That's called owning a tattoo shop. But in reality, when we're talking about getting away from the system, getting away from that kind of thing, I'm thinking about, well, what is it that I would be doing? And part of that, of course, is this whole buffer thing that we've been talking about, this whole effort to develop a certain skill set. Develop, you know, making sure that you're acquiring things that you need, that you're taking care of your basic needs and having, like, saving water. I know TC is engaged in this too. Storing up food, storing up water, with the idea that, you know, here's a month's worth of my time in water, so that I don't have to, if the water gets cut off or what have you, I've got water for a month. So I've got that much time in water. With food, same situation. I've got that much time in food that we're, you know, working out the issue. And this, again, falls back to the Maslow foundation of needs, basically, when you're talking about the hierarchy of needs at the foundation. You know, how does one, you know, acquire shelter, that kind of security with shelter, with if you absolutely had to for a month, you have shelter, you know, already taken care of. So that time that you would, you know, that you need to reboot, basically, is available to you. These are things that I think about. These are the things I'm trying to work out. Anyways, 347-989-1371. That's the phone number. I guess I'm going to talk about a couple other things. We only got about 15 minutes left, so I'm going to kill the next 15 minutes with some other things. If you want to hear the whole spiel about time, go back and listen to the show, and then if you got some ideas, because I think this is going to be a blog. It's going to take me a while to actually hammer out. If you've got some ideas or some comments you want to make, send me an email. It's sorrellart, sorrellart, at hotmail.com. Definitely want to hear your ideas or what you're thinking. And I'll point you guys, if you email me, I'll point you to the blog wherever I'm working on it. The way I work on my blogs is I'll have it sitting someplace and won't post or won't publish. It'll be a draft. But I'll make it so that, you know, it's viewable or whatever, and you can check that out. And then when I finally get it fully to where I want it to be, that's when I'll let everybody else know that it's been published and it's out there for people to read. A couple things going on. This week, of course, this is the two-year anniversary of the Ooze. TC has been getting the guest hosts together to just kind of reminisce, just kind of spend, you know, whatever time they have available to kick back and talk about, you know, the Ooze. Sunday night, I kind of fudged mine. Sunday night, I made sure that I was available. That's what we talked about during the Outbreak show, at least for the first hour. Tonight, Zach Black was on the Ooze for 15 minutes. That show, I think, is already in the archives. So check that out. Zach, just, you know, just checking in to let people know how he's doing and what's going on, you know, give you an idea of where he's at, what he's got thinking. And it sounds like Zach might actually be doing a couple of one-shot episodes, which will be pretty cool, where, you know, because Zach's schedule keeps him from actually, you know, doing the shit that he wants to do. Again, we're talking right along the lines of what we're talking about tonight. He doesn't necessarily have the time to do what he wants. So the constraints he finds himself under means that, you know, with what time he has to take advantage of it. Anyways, the so Zach was doing the show tonight. Tomorrow night's show, I think, is going to be really interesting. Venger Afnasikanis will be on the Ooze with T.C. Downing. I believe it's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern time, so 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be tuning in because Derek has opted to go a whole hour. And it's going to be interesting to see how things go. I'm going to make some predictions here. I predict that it will not be the drama and fireworks show that people would normally expect. I don't think that these two are going to be at each other's throats, although it is a possibility. I don't think it's going to be the case. I think Derek will call in with the agenda in mind, that he wants to talk about the Ooze. He wants to celebrate the idea that it's been around for 2 years. He wants to reminisce about his participation in the Ooze. The only way I see all that going wrong is if he makes some claims about how the success of the Ooze is directly a reflection of his own success. If he makes that kind of claim, then you might hear TC actually speak up and turn into a little bit of a debate. That's where I kind of see it going off the rails, basically, right there. Otherwise, I expect, you know, that Derek will be a gracious and courteous guest, and that TC will be a gracious and courteous host. But I'll be tuning in, you know, just in case. And I don't intend to call in because I don't want Derek to feel like he was being double-teamed or whatever. I know TC can handle himself just fine. And I don't expect there to be any issues, but, you know, again, it should be interesting to listen to. So bear with me just a moment here. Okay, there's a comment in the chat room right now. Rotten Biohazard, who's the only one showing the chat room as we kind of wind this down. Time is a meaningless construct of people to show their passage from day to day. These days, it has no use outside of farming. On certain levels, I do agree with that statement, that time as a measurement in that way is meaningless because you can do whatever you want. But let's take the measurement up from day to day. And again, this is the kind of value shift that I'm talking about. Let's talk about, let's say, the time of your life. Just the extension from the day of your born to the day you die. If it's meaningless, well, then give it up. Since most of us aren't in that mode, since most of us aren't necessarily suicidal, most of us, you know, enjoy the time that we have, you know, then there is some meaning to it. And that's what I mean by this commodity. It's probably the rarest and most precious thing that we have is our time. So this idea that it's just a meaningless measurement, that it's just, you know, it goes day to day and day, that suggests that value set, that program value set, that it's infinite, that we have as much time as we need to do whatever it is we're going to do, that we've got all of our life to accomplish, you know, whatever it is we want to accomplish. Well, all of our life isn't very fucking long from, you know, from where I'm sitting. And again, one of my biggest fears, one of my biggest concerns, is that I will die feeling like I didn't accomplish anything. I will die feeling like, and whatever that means, I know that's ambiguous, I know it's relative, but in my mind, that I will die without having that sense of achievement. And that's something, you know, and I seek achievement in the smallest ways to the largest ways, basically. You know, whether it's, you know, the value I put into my children and what they're doing and the pride I take in their accomplishments, to my own efforts as an artist, to you know my ideas as a philosopher, the different things I put out there. Time is, you know, it's a commodity, I think, that we need to start cultivating. That it's the use of time, how time is used. And again, if you listen to the show, you'll catch what I was talking about how you have time that's wasted, you have time that's dross time, that's, you know, either spent because you have resources but restrictions, or you have no resources but no restrictions. It's just a matter of accomplishing more. And again, I'm looking at Rotten, you know, comments and everything else. He mentions that, you know, since I have kids, I have art and everything else, that I should be satisfied. And I am, to an extent, I am satisfied. But that's also, I guess, this is the mentality that that comes with being an artist, comes with being, you know, into tattooing and a lot of the other things I've done. That the point when you reach where you're satisfied, the point that you reach where you think you don't really have to do anything more but maintain, well, then you are done. You might as well be dead. And that's just a core of my being. You know, you don't have to agree with that or not agree with that. My intent, I look at people like Einstein. I look at people like Newton. I look at Da Vinci. I look at Shakespeare. I look at people who pushed themselves, pushed the development of whatever field they were working in, pushed to innovate, to make a mark. And that's the pursuit that I see. That's the platinum time, the diamond time, basically, that I'm talking about, that high value time. That's what we should be. Well, that's what I should be cultivating. That's what I'm trying to cultivate. So, and it's, you know, it's paid for through these other phases of time, through these other, you know, scales of time. And this will be something that I'll hammer out again in a blog. So expect that probably in the next couple of weeks as I find the time to do it. And, of course, this is in line with the Gurdjieffian ideas that TC and I also are kicking around, that sense of awareness, this awareness of time, you know, doing, you know, pursuing, developing, and being aware versus just letting the time go, the unawareness of, you know, we always want to have more time, that kind of thing. Rodden, again, he's pointing out, he's suggesting that you will always fall short of perfection because it isn't a possible idea. That I understand, and that's not the pursuit, because perfection would mean reaching an end. I don't want there ever to be an end. I don't want there ever to be a point where I can go, there is no more development to be had, where we've reached perfection. I always want there to be another hurdle. I always want there to be another obstacle, another mountain to climb. Another thing or another idea to pursue. I always want there to be a new challenge. That's probably why I don't jive with the whole idea of heaven, you know, the whole idea of paradise. That's probably one of the things that about me that makes me think the way I do, is because the idea of going someplace where you no longer have any needs, you no longer have any challenges, you no longer have any obstacles, is boring as hell, you know, or you have to be... Not to be glib, not to be, no pun intended, but you know it's boring. That's not living. That's not experiencing. That's not an ideal situation at all. You know, existing without a challenge, existing without something to pursue. So it isn't a matter of perfection. It's the type of time that I'm talking about. The highest level of time that I of use of time is that time pursuing and dealing with those obstacles that are obstacles that aren't for your needs, that aren't for, you know, satisfying your basic requirements, but are that pursuit, that pushing of that envelope, moving further into that level of development, you know, dealing with those heady obstacles that have, you know, been at the crux of our society evolving as a whole. That those are the kinds of things, that's quality time. Now, I don't think there's a tier above that, because I guess you could sit there and say that the tier above that, if you have this kind of subservient mentality, the tier above that is when you achieve that end, you achieve that goal, and then you just sit back and enjoy it. Well, the people that I think pursue things, the true innovators, the true motivators, the people that are the energy that moves our species, they don't get there. They don't get to that point. there's always that next thing. There's always that next purpose, that next effort. Now, Rotten makes a point that I totally agree with. The issue with society today is the people who side of always trying to find the next hurdle, so they feel bored with their mundane existence. And it's because we have a society that values mediocrity. We have a society that actively produces and suggests that we pursue mediocrity as the value, that you should do no more than own your home, have 2.3 children, retire at 38, 40, 50, 52, whatever it is, and move to Florida to a trailer park, and that's as good as it gets. That's the ideal life, and that's not a life at all, in my opinion. If you're a slave, if you're a servant, if that then is the ideal life. You did your bit for king and country, and now you're sent out the field to waste away. That is not humanity, basically, in my opinion. I talk about in one of my blogs what it is to be human. That is not being human. That has nothing to do with being human. That's how you treat your cattle. That's how you treat your animals, is that you use them for the bulk of their life or whatever it is they're good for, and then when you're done using them, you put them out the field and let them wither away if they've done well, or you slaughter them. That's how our animals are treated, and that's how we are treated by this system, which is why it's so important to discuss these ideas and beginning looking at a way to break away from these things. So anyways, I got about 3 minutes left. I think I've kicked this around as much as I care to kick around tonight. And again, this show was meant to be a rough sketch. I might come back to it next week as I develop these ideas, as I write about it a little bit, but the bulk of my expression of this will probably be through a blog, and you should be looking for that on Eminent Mind. The website, again, is Eminent Mind, no www, just eminentmind.info. So check that out. It's been a while since I posted something there anyway, so I need to get something posted up there. I know TC's been writing some new stuff. I know that Messiah Bay, Warlock Asylum, has been posting some new stuff. And tune in tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time for The Ooze, where Avenger Satanus makes his return to the co-host seat to tell us what he thinks about The Ooze having reached the 2 years. And, hey, man, and Rodden, I appreciate you being out here. Check out the archives, and don't worry about it. Last week I didn't even do a show, but I'll be back here next Tuesday. And, of course, this Sunday, we're talking about taking action. If you haven't heard the Sunday shows, 2 hours of T.C. Downing and Jason Sorrell talking about what we need to do to part ways with the system, what we are actually doing, the efforts we're actually making. And I think next week's show is that's where we're going to spend the bulk of those 2 hours, is talking about what we're doing, what we're finding that works. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dad, Rocky DeRoma, for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Satanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?